Proudly local for 35 years. Community Radio, 88.3 Southern FM.
Earth below us, drifting, falling, floating, weightless, calling, calling home.
Welcome to Planet Earth, the series in which we look at how space technology is helping us understand our home planet. This is episode 71.
Earth below us, drifting, falling, floating, weightless.
Now, a few weeks ago, we visited Queensland and looked at some of the projects that are underway there, and we've got a few more to mention tonight. Now, topography is mapping the elevation and shape of the land. A water runoff from rainfall can only be accurately predicted if the topography is known. The good folks at the Curlew Technology are using global navigation satellites to do this.
There is a growing dependence of satellite Earth observation data for decision-making both in Australia and globally. Increasingly, corporate and government decision-making rely in some way on Earth observation services to inform decisions. It is therefore critical that Earth observation-derived products are validated to ensure they are fit for this purpose. In this 12-month project, the partners will seek to evaluate Curlew technology as a suitable solution for retrieving absolute water height time series data that can be used for Earth observation product validation. This will be achieved by further developing the Curlew innovative low-cost global navigation satellite system positioning system and service so that it can be applied in a new application area within Earth observation satellite calibration and validation. The evaluation of Curlew will leverage the existing CSIRO calibration facility at Googong Reservoir, New South Wales, where Curlew data will be collected over an 8-month period as part of this project. The output of this activity will support CSIRO in planning an Earth observation satellite calibration and validation national facility called AUS CalVal. Future activities could see Curlew apply this method more broadly to utilize absolute positioning to validate and calibrate other Earth observation systems more simply and economically than ever before, lowering risks for Earth observation research and development by increasing consistency across science and research and improving the reliability and accuracy of location analytics and spatial analysis.
It is not only farmers who need to know the condition of vegetation. Local councils, such as the City of Gold Coast, also require validated information.
Local councils urgently require evidence-based rapid evaluation of vegetation to evaluate current management practices and restoration actions, monitoring and reporting vegetation condition, carbon accounting and fire risk assessment. The use of synthetic aperture radar data for vegetation assessment by local councils in Queensland has been constrained by a lack of development and use of accessible analytical tools. To understand the complex relationships between the variables and developing algorithms, deep learning algorithms are evolving, which can fill the gap in accurate model development, calibration, and validation. Similarly, with new advanced sensors, the vegetation indices and biomass estimation power can be increased significantly. Additionally, it is now possible to integrate multi-sensors from multiple orbiting satellites for better integration and development of models. Thus, it can provide a synergistic evaluation of sensors and algorithms for different forest products development in real or near real time for implementation in environmental management. The Queensland-based collaboration between the University of the Sunshine Coast, GeoImage, and the Council of the City of Gold Coast aims to create, calibrate and validate the analytical tools needed to interpret satellite-based tristereo optical and synthetic aperture radar data sets to assess vegetation structure within the Council of the City of Gold Coast Restoration Dynamics Project. The project is investigating the success of restoration through time covering a wide range of vegetation structures, from open grassland through to remnant forest. The vegetation metrics derived from the satellite imagery will be compared with LIDAR and on-ground vegetation biocondition measures and used to inform these success measures. The outcomes and technical tools developed will be used to analyze vegetative response to management actions, with a broad range of benefactors, such as local government, non-government organizations, and industry.
If you are a farmer, you don't just let your cattle loose and twiddle your fingers until the time comes to send them to the abattoir. SIBO Labs Proprietary Limited are working to optimize cattle grazing management.
This research aims to enhance commercial management tools for Queensland beef producers by leveraging satellite-based earth observation data and existing livestock global positioning system tracking data to analyze cattle grazing behavior, preferences, and responses to environmental conditions. This project will achieve this by collating environmental, geospatial, and global positioning system tracking data captured over 3 years from over 600 pregnant females grazing a property located on the Queensland and Northern Territory border, near Kamuwil, Queensland. It will utilize remote sensing technologies to describe the grazing resources of the paddock accessible to cattle. By correlating grazing behaviors with pasture quantity, quality, climatic factors, and paddock characteristics such as water availability, shade and wind protection, the project seeks to develop a comprehensive model for optimizing cattle management and enhanced pasture management tool. Initial investigations will explore changes over time in grazing behavior relative to available pasture at the paddock level, investigating differences in percent green, where an animal is located compared to the overall paddock. The relationship between these temporal patterns and individual animal performance will also be explored. Ultimately, this project will provide producers with data-driven insights to make informed decisions regarding grazing, supplementation, and resource allocation, thereby improving farm profitability and environmental sustainability.
Planet Earth is blue.
Now, on our Planet Earth series, we're going to look at AIRS. It's Advancing Understanding of Climate Change. It's an instrument on the AQUA satellite. The AIRS AIRS stands for Atmospheric Infrared Sounder. This feature comes courtesy of the Jet Propulsion Laboratory.
Every person in the world is affected by AIRS. It's the Atmospheric Infrared Sounder, a revolutionary instrument that is able to look at the infrared, the thermal radiation that is emitted by the Earth and by the atmosphere. AIRS is the first instrument to actually be able to do something like this.
And we have liftoff of NASA's AQUA spacecraft.
It was designed to provide data to help improve weather forecasting and to help us understand what's going on with climate.
Because it lasted so long, it allows us to have a record of climate change that is completely unique. So it shifted from being a revolutionary weather mission to being a revolutionary climate mission.
Climate is all about understanding trends. The longer the data set is, the better you'll be able to understand what's going on.
Now we have a 20-year data record. That data set in itself will be looked at for the next 100 years or so, or longer. It will give people a glimpse into this real critical time period in our history.
The Arctic's gone from being what it was 30 or 40 years ago to what it is today, which is a lot warmer, a lot less cloudy, a lot more water vapor, which AIRS observes, a lot less ice.
There's also this wealth of information in the AIRS spectra about many different trace gases. Carbon monoxide, ozone, ammonia, carbon dioxide, also methane. One thing we can see in the AIRS data over time is large fire events throughout the world. Air pollution is a global problem. We can see those plumes moving across the world.
AIRS data are used in the development of the U.S. drought monitor.
We do produce results from AIRS to understand how flu is spreading. When the atmosphere is drier, there appears to be a tendency for people to get the flu.
All those have enormous economic consequences. and social consequences. And this is why it matters.
AIRS is about decision making. It's about using the data that we get from these space-borne instruments and applying them to critical challenges we have on Earth right now.
The data that we have collected from AIRS is vastly unexplored. Future generations will be able to extract much more important information and get a lot more insight into the climate system by looking at AIRS data. The best is yet to come.
And now on the space show, we're going to jump from the Jet Propulsion Laboratory in Pasadena, California, to the Goddard Space Flight Center on the east coast of the United States.
We're already feeling the effects of climate change. Intense heat waves, longer fire seasons, droughts and floods. The impacts of a warmer planet are all around us. And as global temperatures continue to rise, we'll experience even more changes to our planet. New NASA research suggests that with high greenhouse gas emissions, we'll see declines in global crop yields for maize, corn, as early as 2030. Shifting rainfall patterns, higher temperatures, and increased atmospheric carbon levels are likely to affect where and how much of staple crops like corn, soybeans, wheat, and rice can be grown. Using multiple highly accurate supercomputer models, researchers projected future global conditions based on greenhouse gas emissions. They ran these results through models that simulate how crops respond to changes in things like rainfall, temperatures, and atmospheric carbon dioxide. By using multiple computer models, the teams could compare results and be more confident in what they learned. Overall, corn and wheat showed the clearest results. By 2069 through 2099, global corn crop yields could decrease 24%. Corn is grown around the world, with large quantities grown in countries close to the equator. Rising temperatures in this region will put stress on those plants, leading to lower crop yields. Wheat, on the other hand, grows mostly in more temperate regions, like the northern US and Canada, North China Plains, Central Asia, Southern Australia, Europe, and Russia. Warmer global temperatures and higher atmospheric carbon dioxide could increase wheat crop yields up to 17%. However, these increases will likely level off by 2050 or so. Changes to our global agriculture are likely to happen relatively soon, even in scenarios where we significantly lower greenhouse gas emissions. The more we understand about how our global food systems will change in a warmer climate, the better prepared we can be.
Planet Earth is blue.